This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There will be a lot to keep an eye on tomorrow during Election Day. So our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta are here to break it all down for us. Hey, you two.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Let's look at this list you've come up with. Five big things for us to watch tomorrow.
We have like 1,700. I know
you
do. We whittled it down to
It's a not entirely but somewhat random list of five things to watch.
All right, Rick, you start.
Sure. I think one of the big things is how well will Rick Snyder do in Detroit. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, the Snyder-Kelly ticket got 5% of the Detroit vote. And look, this election is at least partially a referendum on the governor's Detroit rescue plan and the bankruptcy and the path forward. He certainly won't win the city. It's a majority African-American, which is the most loyal Democratic voting bloc. Detroit has not elected, for example, a Republican mayor since, I think, 1950. 57 or 58. It always goes for the Republican presidential candidate. So, but it will be interesting to see how the city of Detroit renders its judgment.
There was
the
a reason President Obama was in Detroit.
At Wayne State
on
University.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's interesting to note about the city of Detroit, though, there's been some talk, and it hasn't necessarily made front cover news, but there's been some mumblings about how much campaigning Mayor Duggan, Democrat, has been doing for Mark Schauer. There are some saying that he has not been out as front as much as one might think a mayor of, you know, the largest city in the state, the largest Democratic city in the state. They're sort of going, what is this about that he's not? I mean, he's certainly lending his support when he's asked. He will say he's supporting
Mark
Schauer.
He has endorsed Mark Schauer. He has gone out. He's spoken at the at the rallies. But
it's interesting to note that they have not been hand in hand at every event, and it makes one, you know, one wonder.
Does that make one wonder about somebody who can't run again and what might happen 4 years hence?
It would not be a surprise, I think, for many to say that we are looking at whether a Mayor Duggan may be trying to set himself up for a run for governor, and he certainly will be a very powerful, one of the most powerful Democrats if Governor Snyder is reelected.
Sort of a reverse situation where then the rest of the state could render its opinion on how Mayor Duggan has handled his time as the leader of the city of Detroit.
Absolutely.
Very true.
So let's go to number two on our list, shall
number
we?
Two,
let's
Zoe.
Go.
Number two. And that's who turns out tomorrow. And we've been talking so much about this, Rick and I have, Cindy, you and I did last week on Stateside, this idea that in order for Democrats to win, they've got to get to the polls. I mean, it seems simple, right? Get more voters to the polls. But the issue is there are more registered Democrats in Michigan, more Ds, but they don't turn out to vote in midterms, what we are in right now. That's why for the past six cycles, we have voted for a Democratic nominee for president. But in these midterms, why we have a Republican governor, attorney general, secretary of state.
Yeah,
indeed.
And so what the Democrats need to do is they need to get about 200,000 more people out to vote than they did 4 years ago. And that's sort of their magic number. And a lot of it is playing out, has already played out, I suppose you could say,
absentee
voting to try and get those absentee voters to fill out their ballots and mail them in or drop them off.
Right.
Because every voter who votes absentee is a voter you don't have to worry about getting to the polls on Election Day.
And aren't we hearing from the counties that there does seem, and cities, that there does seem to be more absentee ballot action?
Some places are reporting an uptick in absentee ballot applications, yes.
Okay, Rick, number three.
Did the May Day PAC see something over on the west side of the state in the 6th Congressional District where Congressman Fred Upton is the incumbent? Does the May Day PAC see something that the rest of us didn't because they just dumped $2 million into trying to oust Upton?
Now, remind us again, the May Day PAC is?
The May Day PAC is a PAC that basically their goal is campaign finance reform. And they say they've got this internal poll, and internal polls can be sort of dubious, that shows that Upton could be vulnerable. Now, we should say, on paper, the 6th Congressional District is competitive. It's almost 50-50. President Obama took it with 54% of the vote in 2008. Romney took it in 2012, although he barely took it. But Fred Upton always plays well above the Republican base. He got almost 60% of the vote in the 08 Democratic wave. 4 years ago, he won it with 62% of the vote, closer in 2012, but it was still 54% of the vote. So we're just wondering, you know, was this a decision made by political strategist somewhere far away based on what the 6th congressional district looks like on paper? Or is there an actual upset in the making?
Okay, so number four, let's move from West Michigan down to Southeast Michigan, the 11th congressional district.
The entertaining 11th.
the entertaining 11th.
There have been so many nicknames for this. Can Congressman Benevolio be a spoiler as a write-in to help take down David Trott? Of course, David Trott, Republican, beating Republican Kerry Benevolio in the August primary.
Trouncing him.
Which was no surprise that Kerry Benevolio was called the accidental congressman after he sort of slipped into the seat when Thad McCotter
imploded.
And David Trott was sort of next in line. It's a pretty solidly Republican seat, you know, about a 4-point automatic Republican advantage. But David Trott made his fortune. He's an attorney, made his fortune in the foreclosure business. And the Democrat, Bobby McKenzie, has run this intense teardown campaign on Trott, calling him Southeast Michigan's foreclosure king and things like that.
That brutal commercial with reenacting the eviction of the 110-year-old woman.
101 years.
101, you're right.
Throwing her medication out on the street.
So in what's roughly a 54% Republican district, do we have maybe a confluence of circumstances where we could see things turn out differently than expected?
So the final point is yours, Rick.
Okay. Well, another surprise could be in the State House of Representatives. How many seats, if any, will the House Democrats pick up? Might we see a surprise if they can run the board and pull an upset and actually take the majority in the State House of Representatives? Few people expect it, but on paper, at least, it's certainly possible. And as sort of a bonus sub question in this topic,
is that allowed?
It's allowed.
Will as part of that effort to sort of overperform, will Democrats maybe dash Representative Kevin Cotter's hopes of becoming the next state House Speaker by knocking him out in a Republican Mount Pleasant district that's turning into a closer race than anyone expected?
And of course, it'll be interesting to watch the state house now, but also again in 2 years. You know, right now, Lansing, of course, set up under majority Republican control. So that's one that a lot of, you know, statewide politicos are going to be watching.
Fascinating stuff. Lots to keep an eye on. And we want to thank, as always, our It's Just Politics team. Zoe Clark, Rick Pluta, thanks so much.
Thanks, Cindy.
Oh, my pleasure.